What is up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 5 of the DFS and Donut Shop. My name is Mitch, but you can call me Donuts. I provide content for Number Fire, Fantasy Draft, and the DFS Army. And you can find me on Twitter at DFS and Donuts. Today, I am jumping right into things. I am going to continue with part 3 of the MME Strategy Series. If you're tuning in for the first time, first off, welcome. But if you missed part 1 and 2, you can find those in episodes 2 and 3. I'll go ahead and give you a brief recap just so you can at least follow along with this podcast. So the first thing we went over was how to narrow down the field, how to cut the slate into pieces and not look at it as a whole. A massive 10, 12, 15 game slate means we're looking at 20 to 30 teams to choose from. That's just not a very efficient way to go about doing your MME life. Once we've narrowed down the field and identified a handful of targets and possibilities, we then broke the slate into tiers. We have Tier 1, which would be all of our favorite teams that we plan on having the most exposure to with the most full team stacks. In Tier 2, it's those teams that might not necessarily be a sexy offense, but one with a sweet matchup. Think of a team like the Padres. That was the example I used in the podcast. They have a team where they have several right-handed bats that absolutely smash left-handed pitchers. If they're facing a terrible lefty and they have a few hot right-handed bats, they're still not really a team that's going to fit into Tier 1, but for that slate, they might be in Tier 2. So Tier 2, not to get too specific to talk about what I was discussing in the last podcast, but Tier 2 is only going to take up maybe 5 to 10% of your total lineups created. And they're going to be mixed and matched with a lot of the teams from Tier 1. And to be honest, if that was really confusing right there, talking about cutting the field down to less teams and then talking about splitting it up into tiers for the offenses we want to stack, and how many we're supposed to have in each tier, that's all going to be in the previous two podcasts. And luckily, they're only 7 to 10 minutes long. So if you want to go back and listen to those quickly, I believe those segments are even just 3 to 4 minutes each. So you could go back, listen to, conceivably, those two and this one all within about 15 minutes of your time. All right, so we have our targets, we have our tiers. Now we need to focus on pitching. The pitching is the last thing, the very last thing I want to focus on, because if you look at the top of the standings in some of these large field GPPs, the ones that we would MME, they often have that low-end pitcher or that middle-tier pitcher go off for 40, 45 points, and you'll see two massive 4x4 stacks or a 3x5 on DraftKings that scored a couple hundred points together, or DraftKings maybe a little bit less, but you get the point. You'll see these massive stacks of these offenses. Take, for instance, the Red Sox and Cleveland both going off, the Rockies and Cleveland both going off for 19 runs on Wednesday night. That was wild. That was wild. The top of most of the GPPs that I did MME that night, they had those two teams fully stacked with a mid-tier to low-end pitcher because they needed to be able to fit those bats. And you just can't grab somebody like Corey Kluber at his price point and then also use a full 4x4 or 3x5 stack with two top offenses on the slate. It just doesn't work. And you need those home runs to get to the top. So I'll normally target my favorite high-end pitcher of the night for about 10 to 20% of my lineups by using the minimum exposure setting on a player. For my example, I'm going to be using the Domination Station, which is also known as the DS over at the DFS Army. That's their proprietary optimizer, and that thing is baller. So if you need an optimizer, reach out to me on Twitter at DFSN, the letter N, Donuts, and I'll hook you up with how to use that and teach you a little bit. So anyways, I'm going to put that minimal percentage on that high-end pitcher. Next, I'm going to identify a couple of mid-tier options in primetime spots. These guys are usually mispriced on FanDuel or DraftKings based on their own algorithms. And, you know, these are a guy like on Thursday night, Tyler Skaggs. He is 7.7K on DraftKings. He's 9,800 on FanDuel. I don't know what went into the DraftKings pricing. I didn't really care. I set myself up at about 40% exposure to him tonight, and we'll see how that goes. But that's the type of play I'm going to be using for MME, those mid-tier guys that are mispriced. They just don't make sense for whatever reason. Finally, I'm going to look at a lot of data for my lower-end options. This is where I'm going to get about 30 to 40% of my total pitching exposure, and these guys are so volatile. They're volatile, and they're priced low for a reason. So I'm looking at this low-end, and I have to find a few targets that have the potential to go off. Is it a high probability? No. Not really. So that's why we're going to actually spread out that 40% exposure across several arms. We're not going to go all in on somebody like Skaggs at that mid-tier option. We're really going to kind of pick and choose that low end, and we're going to see, are there any guys that have been called up from the minor leagues who are in a good spot, or maybe they're pitching really well and they're a high-end prospect that nobody really knows about? Those guys are going to fill up my 40%. With my pitcher exposure set, I'll make sure I have my tiers all set up and get the proper stacks from tier 1, mixed and matched with about 75% of all of my lineups from tier 1. And then I'm going to make sure my second tier is kind of sprinkled in with game stacks and with tier 1. And I'm going to match them up with certain pitchers. And that's going to make up the last 25% of my exposure. The pitcher exposure in the DS is based on our algorithm, and that includes our projections, our grades, and even some ownership projections. When new members join the DFS Army Slack, they're always asking me questions, how do I use the DS? How do I use that optimizer? And how do I use it in conjunction with your MME playbook, which I write daily, which is my personal strategy for the slate of how I plan on doing MME, or how I suggest to others that they should do it. Well, I tell them it's like hopping in a Ferrari that you've never driven before. You're going to want to ease into it a bit, maybe focus on the 20 max entries and go from there. I would love to discuss this in detail with you, so please reach out to me on Twitter. And some things are just easier to show you than tell you about, but I gave it my best shot. All right. My favorite, and hopefully your soon-to-be favorite portion of the podcast, is Inbound. This is the Real Talk segment. Balance and moderation is imperative. It is. It truly is. It's imperative in all facets of life. As much as we'd love to just sit here in the world of fantasy sports and DFS 24/7, we need to keep our priorities in line. One of those personal priorities of mine is being a supportive husband. Sometimes, especially now since I'm daddy daycare through the summer with two kids who have a combined age of 3 years old, I'm just in a tornado 13 hours a day. But making sure I have something left in the tank for my wife sometimes gets left behind. But it shouldn't. She needs my support, my attention, and her partner. And to be frank, I probably need it more than her. As spouses, it's easy for a husband or a wife to get wrapped up in our own lives and responsibilities and forget about our partner. We married that person to be our equal. And when we get kids thrown into the mix, it gets even more difficult to keep our eyes on the prize. I wish I had the answer. I wish I had some magic elixir to share with you and help you find that happy medium, that balance that it takes to keep your own lives from feeling like absolute pandemonium, in addition to loving your spouse the way one should. But I don't. I don't have the answer. But I can remind you. I can remind you to tell your spouse you love them. And from experience, I can remind you to stop talking so much and listen. I can remind you to do something kind and sincere just because you care. I can remind you to tell others to get with the program. Iron sharpens iron. Without those gentle nudges, sometimes our priorities can get jumbled. So, if this message resonates with you, please find your own way. Begin to reprioritize your spouse, or your kids, or friends, or whomever, and whatever it might have started to lag behind before you realize it wasn't at the top anymore. Lastly, every time I hear back from the listeners about the closing remarks, it fills up my cup. I am incredibly humbled that there are people that want to listen to what's on my heart and my mind. I thank you. I thank all of you. And I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and I cannot wait to do this again.